Interrelations by Neil A. Hogan. From above, the Interreality Support Network was a mass of undulating cables. Initially a spider's web, it had now grown to resemble millions of centipedes writhing in ecstasy. The sight made Cindy visibly sick. She quickly turned from the flyer's window and reached for the sick bag. It shot out from the back of the seat in front of her and wrapped around her mouth. As she emptied her lunch into the receptacle, calming sprays of peppermint-scented liquid washed her mouth before an Atbot helped remove the bag for her. The Atbot swiveled its cube head towards her, a pink emoticon smile digitized on its face. The smile moved to make words in her mind. "The jump site can cause nausea," it said. "The undulation your biological senses perceive is the shifting between dimensions. The cables are fixed and straight and don't move in the real world."
"Thank you," said Cindy, coughing the last bit of bile away. "I'll try not to look at it again."
The flyer banked left and Cindy was relieved to see standard buildings that didn't move. The Atbot hadn't left.
"Was there something else?" she asked.
The Atbot showed a face with a wavy line for mouth.
"We are about to enter one of those tubes in a few seconds," it said. "The transition may be a bit disconcerting."
Cindy indicated the bag.
"I'm sure I have nothing left," she said with a wry smile.
The Atbot nodded and slid away.
She wondered what it would feel like to shift between parallel worlds.
She was excited and terrified at the same time.
"Would it hurt?"
The flyer banked right again and lowered onto a moving platform. Clamps held it in place. A force field filled the cabin, locking Cindy's movements. With even her eyes frozen in stasis, only her consciousness was aware of what was happening. Everything took on an unclear hue, as though reality had been deliberately blurred. Then, just as suddenly, reality snapped back and everything seemed normal again. The Atbot returned. She was sure that it had changed the color of its face.
"Blue suits you," she said.
"Thank you," it replied.
"Does your programming allow you to decide colors, or is it automatic?" asked Cindy.
The Atbot busied itself with health checks, making sure the transition had been safe for Cindy's body.
"I have always been blue," said the Atbot.
Okay, thought Cindy. It was her consciousness that had shifted, not her body. She was already in a parallel universe, one in which her other body already existed. Perhaps her other self had shifted to her previous body. She reached into the film on her shoulder pocket that hid her life card and activated the archive. There were more pictures, and some she had never seen before. One of them was with her boss, a hug at a party last week. But she had never hugged him. Certainly not like that. Otherwise, the pictures were mostly similar to her life. This would take some getting used to, she thought.
"You can enter," said the Atbot, sliding out of her way.
She deactivated the restraining field and stepped out of the shell seat, making her way down the net steps to a foot river. The buoyant, mercury-like path slid her down the main corridor of the flyer and then spiraled to a waiting pool at the bottom. There were others there.
"P24N3, said a quasi-human, introducing himself. "I am pleased to make your acquaintance."
Cindy looked him over, but couldn't tell whether he was a dayer or a nighter. Nighters were a lot more fun. Then she realized that his front was completely flat. A dayer, then.
"Pleased to meet you," said Cindy, not so pleased.
P24N3 just nodded. Cindy decided that keeping quiet was her best option. After all, she really had nothing to talk about and couldn't reveal her mission here anyway. Two Atbots appeared and took P24N3 one way and Cindy another. The others in the group were taken away by Atbots, Medbots, Cellbots and others. All on their own missions, she guessed. All were attempting trade with multiple versions of their own worlds. The dark silver walls, grey rib-like ceilings, and black iron tables lent a very clinical air to the proceedings. A few flowers would have been nice, Cindy thought.
Across the table sat a mirror image of herself. Well, almost a mirror image. Blue hair endings on her doppelganger were the only major difference to her purple ones. And her purple hair wasn't even hers anyway. It looked like there were multiple ways to cross the multiple realities. "These aren't negotiations," said her other self. "We know what each other is thinking, and any kind of acquiescence would be considered a fake compromise and suspected."
"I agree," Cindy said. "So all cards on the table, and we'll see what we can work out."
The other Cindy pulled out an identical document to Cindy's. They both looked at each other in surprise.
"I think we're talking to the wrong mirrors," said Cindy too.
"No, my physical agenda is incorrect. I exchange perceptions, not possessions.
This document belongs to the Cindy I have swapped with."
"So you are not wanting to trade for coffee?"
"No, we have coffee to trade. We wish to trade for oil."
"Excellent," said Cindy too. "We can come to some agreement."
It was more like an exchange of sales rather than negotiation. Both offered good terms, and there wasn't any need for a currency exchange. Coffee beans were identical in value to petrol. The interbrokers had chosen the correct parallel realities to deal with. Within about half an hour, documents had been irised and copies committed to Loeb storage. Orders were placed, messages transmitted via ISN's inter-reality message exchange, and shipments were flashed to their respective worlds. Of course, ISN took a small percentage from the exchange. Cindy had a day to explore the area. She left the ISN headquarters and walked the streets in wonder. Buildings were solid gold with diamonds inlaid. People were tall and thin in the slightly lighter gravity and seemed to glow with health and energy. The low-light dwarf star and limited use of vocal cords meant all faces were lineless. She had no idea of the age of anyone. Then she saw him. P24N3. He seemed to be waiting for something.
"Hello, P24N3, she said, her long purple hair flicking in the slight breeze. The quasi-human turned to her and smiled.
"This reality is 2 minutes behind. Hello, Cindy."
2 minutes behind? Asked Cindy curiously.
"I thought you would get here 2 minutes ago," he said cryptically, tapping his head.
"One of my other selves is talking with one of yours right now. Parallel World 258. Our conversation will be a bit different now."
Cindy didn't know what to think about this development. Why was a fake human interested in her?
"We need your help," said P24N3 simply.
P24N3, she decided to call him P, took her to an opulent cafe. Initially, she balked, but P allayed her fears.
"Everything is free. There is no currency, and the ISN gets 1% of everything from trade. This means the property is overstocked with everything from multiple worlds. Literally everything. The ISN can live in luxury forever."
Having scanned their Loeb chips when they had entered, a drybot slid over with a tray of their favourite drinks. Cindy looked at P's tray in surprise. Fake humanoids don't usually consume, but his tray had a wine glass of dark red liquid. Shiraz.
"I always do my best to fit in," he said.
She nodded.
"So why do you need to see me?"
"May I?" he asked, indicating her forehead. She nodded.
His finger lightly touched her lobe, a protective security encryption field briefly encasing the connection, and then set back. Knowledge of future cataclysm affecting all of interreality was instantly open and broadcast to her mind view system. She absorbed everything in moments and shook her head, wanting to rid herself of the image. The mind view screen faded away and she was able to focus. She frowned.
"Are you some kind of conspiracy nut?" she said, disappointed.
"Maybe a doomsday cult?"
P shook his head.
"We have no emotions. We only observe."
"It's still a prediction," Cindy murmured, picking up her hot Lapsang Sushung and sipping it.
"It is not," said P. "Some worlds operate at slightly faster time speeds than others. This is from one of them."
Cindy looked at him. "If the world has been destroyed, why hasn't ISN gone with it?"
"This has happened before," said P. "ISN has had failsafes for centuries. At least 30 future worlds have perished in the last 10 years alone. There are an infinite number, so ISN isn't interested. It just contacts the next one where another ISN is ready to make the connection. ISN now has 1 billion Earths in its charter."
Cindy was going to ask, why her, but thought better of it. She knew why. Her world must be next.
"So, I'm just one of 10 billion humans on my world," she stated. What could I possibly do?
We don't know, said P.
He sat back and sipped the wine. The liquid stained his lips ruby, but then automatic cleaning sensors in his skin covering returned the color to standard light pink. He looked at her carefully, yellow eyes flicking left and right. Human-like concentration, but flicking just too long for it to be real. Cindy blinked.
We only know that you're at the center of whatever happens, he said, putting his hands together. The destruction of the past 27 worlds featured you, not long after you do your first inter-reality trip. This is the point in history that it begins. We would like you to monitor what happens to you and things around you, and keep us updated.
Why not come to my world and investigate for yourself? She asked. But she knew the answer to that before she asked too.
If you knew a world was going to explode, would you want to go there? Said P sadly. Only those who are from there will help. And in our past experience, the ones we've asked for help haven't been close enough to the situation. You were the closest so far. I hope we find a solution soon.
But I don't understand, said Cindy. Why are you even doing this? There are billions of parallel worlds. Life is cheap now. We only have our personal feelings left. Everyone is replaceable, even entire worlds. It really doesn't matter whether mine or anyone else's world is destroyed. It'll exist somewhere.
P looked closely at her.
It is what I'm programmed to do. My government sent me. They don't want their world to be destroyed. As we read the energy now, we have about 6 months left before it happens to ours. Of course, there are other versions of me from other worlds trying to save theirs.
Couldn't you just find a world that has similarities but survived the explosion and work backwards? Asked Cindy.
P shook his head. We don't know the alternative. The explosion cuts off the planet from the inter-reality system. We've been able to set up alternate inter-reality message transmission systems to find out what happens next. Unfortunately, all planets quickly turn into black holes and swallow their star. We've yet to find a world where one explosion never occurred, the black hole never happened, and yet have a record of an almost explosion. We're running out of time.
Cindy swallowed the rest of her tea and sat back.
So I return to my body, monitor the situation, check in with you here with updates. How long have I got?
P swallowed the rest of his wine and got up.
1 week, he said. 2 days should give you enough time. Meet me at this cafe then, and we'll update each other on what we've learned.
Then he bowed and left.
Cindy sat and reviewed, then began to shake.
1 week.
There were so many people she wanted to say goodbye to, so many things she hadn't done in her life. Perhaps she could find a way to shift to another world if the time came, and she would see other versions of all the people she would lose on her world. And there was still a chance she could avert their destruction.
Her mind made up. She took a flyer back through the inter-reality tunnel and returned to her Earth. In a lift to her level, all she could smell was cigarettes. Had her other self taken her body somewhere smoky? She felt slightly queasy too, like she was missing something. Had her other self been feeding her? Her boss went to kiss her in the lift and she recoiled.
Mr. Jewel, she said, shocked. Had she made it back to the right reality?
Said her boss, surprised and disappointed. Ah, I guess you're back. Please, forget I did anything.
Cindy remembered the picture in her interbody. I take it you had some enjoyment with my body while I was away.
Her boss went red and stabbed at the next number that was coming up. He needed to cut the conversation short. All I can say in my defense, Miss Williams, is that the other Cindy was engaged to her other boss and had assumed it was the same here when she arrived, he said, as the door lift opened. She was quite passionate. He exited quickly. The doors closed behind him, and Cindy shuddered. The boss was not her type in this universe. How could he have been in the other one? What changes had happened there? She looked down her body and noticed a pink mark on her cheek. Surely they hadn't done much. She'd only been gone 18 hours. She went to the bathroom and looked herself over. Relieved that there was no evidence they'd gone further than some heavy petting, she headed back to the office. Her desk was as she left it. She checked her bank account and found a charge for a packet of cigarettes. She didn't smoke. No charges for food. Her second drawer contained the packet. Two were missing. On it was a note. You should take it up. Relax a bit. See. Cindy shook her head. Obviously, her other self was a lot less caring about other selves' bodies. She wondered if perhaps that was the cause on the other worlds. More selfish Cindy's destroying the planets. She wrote up her negotiation report and submitted it, looking up the next assignment. In 2 days' time, she had to negotiate a wheat for corn deal. It seemed pointless. Why not exchange with more alien versions of Earth and get very different things? She left her desk and walked around the office. How could this little business cause a planet to explode?
They were just brokers, negotiating deals and skimming, just like ISN. They were just a little cog in a massive machine. She checked the schedule. All the girls were doing inter-reality deals. None of the people in the office she really knew. They were all alternate versions. She noted on the schedule that Virginia had recently left, and that the body that was here was an alternate Virginia. Maybe she could ask her about her world. She checked her locator chip and found her on level 12, Mr. Jewell's office. Cindy frowned. Something wasn't right about that. Virginia never needed to go to the office. Cindy took the lift and exited next to Mr. Jewell's corridor. His office was down the end, and she could hear voices. Then she heard the clink of glasses and laughter. She stopped, suspicion forming. Surely not. Then she heard Virginia's voice, or rather, the alternate Virginia. Oh God, I want you now, she said. Cindy had heard enough and went back to the lift and back to her desk. Feeling sick, she suddenly had an idea as to how an entire planet could be destroyed by a tiny business. She began investigating. P was exactly like she remembered. The glass of Shiraz was served, and this time she received lemon tea. Her other self had updated her lobe preferences. She wondered what her other self had done when she'd reviewed the exploding planet materials. No record was left in the chip. "What have you discovered?" asked P. Cindy sipped her lemon tea, ignoring the cigarette cravings this body had, and frowned. "Alonzo Jewell is a bastard," she said. "It is the same on the other world," said P. "He decides on a female, researches a reality where they are already having an affair, then sends a non-responsive one to that world to negotiate a pointless deal, while he has fun with the one passionate about him. In our office, he has either passionately kissed or slept with at least half the staff, and none of them have mentioned it, accepting it as a one-off situation and a side effect of the job," said Cindy with a frown. "After all, there are no laws to prevent it, and any recording on our world would show it was completely consensual. One young lady had been saving her virginity for a husband on her wedding night. She killed herself when she found out her other self had lost it on Mr. Jewell's." "I'm very sorry to hear that," said P, attempting sympathy. "Have you worked out how your little brokerage firm could destroy the planet?" Cindy shook her head. "I don't know if it is relevant, but my other self is quite selfish. I'm sure she is having in the office right now, using my body."
"It might be so," said P.
"What did you write on the note, and how do you think she'll respond?" Cindy laughed, knowing that now P was ahead of her. "Nothing specific. Just a general private memo to everyone involved. I sent them facts of his other affairs." P nodded. "What do you think would happen if Mr. Jewell's partner from each world learns that, firstly, he's not really their partner on your one, and secondly, that their Mr. Jewell's is doing the same thing?"
"Oh," said Cindy, as the realization hit her, knowing the power of women scorned. "Oh, shit."
P smiled. "You have found the cause," he said. He tapped his head. "My other selves are also being informed by other Cindys. We need to remove all the Mr. Jewels." He held out his hand and shook hers. "Thank you," he said. He bowed and left. Cindy drank her tea. They were going to save Mr. Jewels? But surely there had been other Ps on other worlds who had found this solution and tried to extricate him. How could she second-guess other situations? What would happen next? Crazed, used women storm his protective enclosure and kill him? What if they couldn't get to him? Would they work out another way? Then she realized the women had already thought this through for months. They'd felt abused and violated and would have thought through every possible and probable outcome. Killing Mr. Jewell's wouldn't work. They needed to prevent future Mr. Jewell's. And the way to do that was to attack the source. They would try to destroy ISN. She ran out after P. P had gone. It was up to her. The flight had been delayed and she couldn't transfer back into her body. Her other self was not at the exchange point. She waited and looked for other options. A more expensive option was to transfer as a full physical. She didn't want to do it, but she had no choice. She'd be stuck in this addicted body if anything happened to her other self. But with only 5 days before her planet was due to explode, she didn't have much choice. The product transfer systems were huge, shipping entire cargoes between the worlds instantly. A swing crane picked up one cargo box, a wormhole opened, and it swung it through the hole and quickly swung back again. Nets in the other world caught the cargo and shipped it to the location. Another wormhole opened, and another cargo box was thrown by crane, a slow process. She walked past to the people transfer section. Boat-shaped transfer ships waited to be filled while physicals got on board. Crane lifted them
and threw them through. It was too risky to use any kind of propellant or electromagnetic propulsion. The slightest difference in the vibration and the wormhole would collapse or redirect to the wrong location. Her boat arrived and she took her seat. It was lifted and, after momentary weightlessness which had her gasping, she felt the ship being held by a net and lowered in her world. She quickly got off and headed to her office. What had caused the flyer delay? Her office was deserted. No one on any levels. No access to locations. All staff had turned their locators off. She tried contacting other franchises, even some competitors. No answer. She tapped into the news. A massive protest had developed outside the main ISN area. Thousands of women were screaming. Hundreds of thousands. Surely Mr. Jewell hadn't that many. Then she realized it wasn't just her boss. Every brokerage involved in dealing with the ISN had a boss doing it. In fact, the entire business had been set up as the modern version of a harem. The boss taking a percentage of the trade, employing women to do the negotiation, and having a bit on the side from everyone without them realizing. Now everyone had realized. Her simple note had set the ball rolling. People had taken to social media and found there were others just like them. Within 48 hours, the world had discovered the truth. News services had released the details. The women were angry, very angry, and with no laws to cover this and no way to take any man to court, and even if it were possible, there wasn't enough money in the world to compensate every woman. There was only one business responsible that could take their wrath, ISN. And ISN had a weakness. All the inter-reality portals were sensitive. Even an ancient mobile phone could set them off. Cindy looked at the screen of the protest. She looked at the angry women shouting. Then she smiled and leant back in her chair. She knew P had given her an incorrect time frame. Perhaps he knew. Perhaps not. Perhaps in some alternate reality, her other self would find a way to fix the problem. Perhaps another self would want to fix the problem. For her, though, she knew the explosion would be quick. The women stormed the barricades and threw themselves into the dimensional vortexes. Cindy pulled out a cigarette and lit it. She inhaled, enjoying the feeling in this other body. The feed cut out. There was a rushing, grinding, screeching, crushing noise, a high-pitched whine that became steadily lower, and then silence, as another Earth became a miniature black hole.
"I was an hour early," said P24N3. "You are waiting for me?" asked Cindy, her long green hair flicking in the slight breeze. "Yes, I was wondering if you could help me."